So I guess two of the most sort of interesting characters that people would probably be interested in is Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. It seems from sort of the outside world that they had sort of a strange kind of a cooperative, productive relationship as crew members of Apollo 11, but I think amiable friends or amiable strangers was Mike Collins' description of them. How did you find them 20 years after having landed on the moon, and did they seem chummy? Did they seem distant?
We spent 3 days together in a hotel in Santa Fe. And Neil is an extremely thoughtful, careful speaker. He said at one point that when we were talking about the landing and the operations in the LEM during the landing, that at 20 years after the fact, he was not going to remember a lot of it. And if I could give them a day or two in the simulator, they might be able to help more. But we both understood that that wasn't going to happen. Buzz is an interesting character. I don't quite know what to say about Buzz. He certainly made a sincere effort to help with the project. But after we finished, I was reluctant to write to him, to email, once that came along, to ask questions, because he seemed to be a little more cautious or a little more distant or something like that. Whereas Neil, Jack, and Dave Scott, and Alan Bean continued to be marvelous sources. Dave and Ellen still are.
Another interesting character, unfortunately, who's also recently left us, is Ed Mitchell. He obviously walked on the moon in Apollo 14 with Alan Shepard. But he, post-Apollo, and I guess around before the Apollo, had a strong interest in other sort of less hard-nosed engineering math type of subject. Did you get a bit of an insight into him and what his projects were about, and how was your sense of it?
I spent a week with Ed in his Florida home, and then a few months later spent another week with him. I purposefully didn't raise any of those things, because that's what I wasn't about, nor did I ask Dave Scott about the stamp business. It simply wasn't my job. Ed had a good grasp of the spacecraft and was extremely helpful with that stuff. And because Shepard wasn't participating, he did his best to help me understand the teamwork that went on. Others have said that Shepard wasn't overly interested in the geology, and I don't think there's any great secret about that. It wasn't until Jack told me that not long before the mission, it wasn't until close to the mission that Shepard realized he really needed to get up to speed on the geology. And Ed was actually a bit defensive about that he thought they'd done a marvelous job. And each of the crews had their strengths. Ed and Al in particular took wonderful photographs. Their pictures are probably better than most of the other crews. They sampled what was there. They didn't make it to the rim of Cone Crater, but it's not clear that they could have done any better than they did. I think Ed had a better idea of where the crater was, having been on that side of the spacecraft as they came in. But Alan was the commander, and he wanted to go over that way, and Ed thought they maybe ought to edge a little bit further to the left, but hey.
So I assume you probably have read most or all of the their biographies or autobiographies that they've done. I'm particularly thinking of Jim Hansen's Neil Armstrong, First Man, is very well regarded. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have read either the ones the astronauts themselves have written, and I certainly agree that the one that Mike Collins did is by far the best. And I have read First Man. In some cases, I have offered to do unacknowledged reading of drafts. That has not happened for many of them. And there are some cases, which I won't be specific on, where some of the factual material isn't right.
Yeah, I guess that's always possibly going to be a problem with people's memories and recollections and viewpoints. Two people in the one room can understand a conversation differently.
Yeah, absolutely. And the older they get, the further away they get from the missions, the shakier the memories are. When Charlie and I were watching the Charlie Duke from 16 and I were watching the video at some point, I asked him, "Are you back there?" And he said, "Yes, he was." I'm sure they all have particular memories that come back to them. But unless they, none of them, I suspect, had watched the films as often or as recently as I had.
I guess, well, it's more, over half their lifetime ago, and I guess there's other things that have happened since, and like all of us, our memories. So tell me about you, Eric. What age were you when the missions on the moon were taking place, and did you pay much attention at that time?
I was in graduate school at Madison, Wisconsin, in my mid-20s, and there was nothing else of any great importance in my life at that time except for Apollo. The astronomy department, where I was a graduate student, received a phone call from a local newspaper type wanting to talk to one of the professors about Apollo. And they all ducked, and the secretary of the department passed them on to me. And so I was cited as Professor Eric Jones, which I was certainly not at the time. So I was very interested in Apollo. On the day of the Apollo 11 landing, my wife and I invited some friends over to watch it with us, and we suggested they bring some potluck. Bring a dish, as I suppose the Aussies would put it. It eventually grew to 45 people in a three-room apartment with three TVs scattered around, fans in every window because it was midsummer in Madison, hot and humid. My thesis advisor and I went out to get some more beer while we were waiting for Neil and Buzz to go outside. But when we got back, they were about to go out, and the conversation just went dead quiet, and we were all glued to the TV and were for 3 hours, something like that. It was a wonderful evening.